All right, Sunday morning, 12:21 or 12:12:21. I like that. 1-2-1-2-2-1. Must be something significant about that. The day Dana Love was born. All right, this is a Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is Bless Your Enemies. We're going to look at Luke 6:27. You know, I just read to you about Joseph. He would not have stepped into the position of over the whole land of Egypt had not this been worked out of him, taken care of by him. You know, the Lord worked it in him. This is Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And it goes on further, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be children of the Most High, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. That goes on to talk about not judging. There's people that God has placed in your pathway all of your life, and some of them have been brutal to you. They've hurt you. They've been unkind to you. And when the Lord began to give me this, he began to say, every person that I've sent into your life that you can look, and they're like, we're supposed to put memorial stones up, but we tend to put the hurts and the wounds, and they did this to me and that to me sometimes, up as memorial stones, and the devil brings us back to it, and we feel the hurt all over again. And the Lord said, I don't want you to look at them as an enemy. I want you to look at them as they're part of bringing you to your journey. Without them, you would not have gotten to where you needed to be. Now think about that. What did Joseph's brothers do to him? We're going to be reading about it. Even though it was a horrible thing for them to do to him, it was all by divine design. Just the last 7 years or so months that we've been back, you know, doing training in the house, that's not the only training we've been through. Your whole life you've been in training for such a time as this. Much like Esther, you know, for such a time as this. All right. This is what the Lord said to me. Many have crossed your path over your lifetime. Some have appeared to be villains and some heroes. The villains are to be blessed and forgiven, for this is the way of the kingdom. He doesn't want us holding on to grudges. He doesn't want us holding on to the things that people have done to us and hurt us. What it has done is it's made you strong. Your divine destiny comes with villains and heroes. They both have made you what you are today. Each experience that you have encountered, some painful, has molded your character. I would have you to look at them as part of the molding of your character and not as an enemy. By forgiving them, it looses them and you. You should safely say that you could not have completed your journey without them. As hard as that may seem to grasp, the enemies and heroes both together is what has made you who you are today. This is the method I've chosen to mold you into my image. There is so much to be said about a person's response in adversity. It purifies character. If he doesn't purify your character, then he can't use you. Most can look back and remember every enemy they had and what they did to hurt or obstruct you. It is not pleasant, but painful. I would have you view it now with thanksgiving and forgiveness. This is what I did on the cross. Satan uses these instances for harm, but I use them for good. All my true servants have traveled along this road with villains and heroes. It has molded and shaped their character and enabled them to do the mighty works that I have set forth for them to do. Look at the Faith Hall of Fame. Let's look over Hebrews chapter 11. It's a long chapter. Starting with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So what we're looking for is in the unseen realm. It's not manifest in the natural. That right there is painful. We got to bypass what we're experiencing, what we're seeing, what we're feeling, and look to what's in the heavenly realm, the faith realm. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Because he was a person of faith, his brother killed him. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I want you to think about that. Walking the walk of faith goes contrary to the world in most of the church today. But it says God's not pleased with those who do not use their faith. He's not pleased. He wasn't pleased with the, where it talks about Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, talks about the Israelites. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. They refused to use their faith. They want to go back to the system. And they died out there walking around in circles. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You could say everybody said Noah was a conspiracy theorist. The flood's going to come. Well, what's that? Because from what we understand, there was no rain. The water used to come up from under the earth and water the earth. No rain. So you think, oh, you know, that's that old conspiracy theorist up there on that hill. Until it started to rain. And all of a sudden, they were hunting the conspiracy theorists to find out what in the heck is going on. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. That's painful. Leave everything you know, everything you got, don't know what you're going to do. You just start walking because God said go. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Here we got a 90-year-old woman grieved her whole life because she was barren. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and was persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what we are. We're strangers and pilgrims on the earth because we do not conform to the narrative. We do not conform to traditional religious practices. We follow God, and it always goes against the grain. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. And now they desire a better country. We're fixing to see that better country ushered in. Not just in us, but we'll be living in it. In Him we live and move and have our being. That is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city called the Kingdom of God. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Surely he was thinking, surely God wouldn't take my only child. Of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The ugly things they did to Moses in the land of Egypt. It was divine destiny that he be raised up in the culture but then be taken away to learn for 40 years in the wilderness before he could be sent back to be used in that system to bring his people out. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, which the Egyptians, the same to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Every one of these people went through hardness. Their character had to be molded so God could trust them. They realized they were nothing. He brings them. It's like Moses. He was mighty in word and deed when he left Egypt. And when he come back, he couldn't even talk. He had to have his brother be a spokesperson because all he did was stutter. I'm sure he felt like he had nothing left to give. And God said, finally, I got you in the position now that I could actually use you because you're out of the way. Your strength, your gifts, you're this, you're that. Bye-bye. All that stuff you thought you had and you were so good at, it's all gone. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In fact, they're watching us. Hebrews 12 talks about the great cloud of witnesses that are watching all of this transpire right now. All right, there are many of whom you could talk about in the Word of God, but I have chosen Joseph, and what happened to him was by divine design. All right, Genesis 37. And Joseph dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Joseph. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So he was a tattletale. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, also stood upright. Behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. See, he didn't have much sense, did he? Keep his mouth shut. His character wasn't developed yet. Everything that he was to be in God was already in him. It was already there. But God had to mold his character to get him to the place that he could use him. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren, and behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. So what was God showing him? The end from the beginning. He was showing him the end. But he was back, way back here in the beginning. All these years trying to understand, well, when is it going to happen? 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 Anybody identify with this? And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it will be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. A certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him far off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, 'Some evil beast hath devoured him.' And we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors, and that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Now I want to read something to you before I continue on. This is in the book of Jasher. Believe it or not, but it just brings out what they did to Joseph. At the revolution of the year, of the sons of Jacob journeyed from Shechem. They came to Hebron to their father Isaac, and they dwelt there. But their flocks and herds they fed daily in Shechem. For there was there in those days a fat pasture. Jacob and his sons and all their household dwelt in the land of Hebron. It was in those days, in that year, being the 106th year of the life of Jacob, in the 10th year of Jacob's coming from Paddan Aram, that Leah, the wife of Jacob, died. She was 51 years old when she died in Hebron. You have to understand, these women married when they're probably about 10. And Jacob and his sons buried her in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which is in Hebron, which Abraham had bought for the children of Heth for the possession of a burial place. And the sons of Jacob dwelt with their father in the valley of Hebron, and all the inhabitants of the land knew their strength, and their fame went throughout the land. And Joseph, the son of Jacob, and his brother Benjamin, the sons of Rachel, the wife of Jacob, were yet young in those days, and did not go out with their brethren during their battles in all the cities of the Amorites. When Joseph saw the strength of his brethren and their greatness, he praised them and extolled them, but he ranked himself greater than them and extolled himself above them. And Jacob, his father, also loved him more than any of his sons, for he was a son of his old age, and through his love toward him, he made him a coat of many colors. And when Joseph saw that his father loved him more than his brethren, he continued to exalt himself above his brethren, and he brought unto his father evil reports concerning them. The sons of Jacob, seeing the whole of Joseph's conduct toward them, and that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him all the days. Joseph was 17 years old, and he was still magnifying himself above his brethren and thought of raising himself above them. At that time he dreamed a dream, and he came unto his brothers and told them his dream, and he said unto them, I dreamed a dream, and behold, we were all binding sheaves in the field, and my sheaf rose and placed itself upon the ground, and your sheaves surrounded it and bowed down to it. And his brethren answered him and said unto him, what meaneth this dream that thou didst dream? Dost thou imagine in thy heart to reign or rule over us? And he still came and told the thing to his father Jacob, and Jacob kissed Joseph when he heard these things from his mouth, and Jacob blessed Joseph. And when the sons of Jacob saw that their father had blessed Joseph and had kissed him, and that he loved him exceedingly, they became jealous of him and hated him the more. And after this Joseph dreamed another dream, related the dream to his father in the presence of his brethren. And Joseph said to his father and brethren, behold, I have again dreamed a dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. And his father heard the words of Joseph in his dream, and seeing that his brethren hated Joseph on account of this matter, Jacob therefore rebuked Joseph before his brethren on account of this thing, saying, what meanest this dream which thou hast dreamed, and this magnifying thyself before thy brethren who are older than thou art? So you can see his prideful character coming out. Dost thou imagine in that thy heart that I and thy mother and thy 11 brethren will come and bow down to thee, that thou speakest these things? And his brethren were jealous of him on account of his words and dreams, and they continued to hate him. And Jacob reserved the dreams in his heart. And the sons of Jacob went one day to feed their father's flock in Shechem. They were still herdsmen in those days, and whilst the sons of Jacob were that day feeding in Shechem, they delayed, and the time of gathering in the cattle was past, and they had not returned. And Jacob saw that his sons were delayed in Shechem, and Jacob said unto himself, peradventure the people of Shechem have risen up to fight against them, therefore they have delayed coming this day. And Jacob called Joseph, and I'm thinking, you sent Joseph to take care of this? Anyway. And Jacob called Joseph his son and commanded him, saying, behold, thy brethren are feeding in Shechem this day, and behold, they have not yet come back. Go now, therefore, and see where they are, and bring me word back concerning the welfare of thy brethren and the welfare of the flock. And Jacob sent his son Joseph to the valley of Hebron, and Joseph came for his brothers to Shechem and could not find them. Joseph went about the field which was near Shechem to see where his brothers had turned, and he missed his road in the wilderness and knew not what way he should go. And an angel of the Lord found him wandering in the road. See, the book of Genesis says it was a man. But it says here, an angel of the Lord found him wandering in the road toward the field. And Joseph said unto the angel of the Lord, I seek my brethren. Hast thou not heard where they are feeding? And the angel of the Lord said unto Joseph, I saw thy brethren feeding here, and I heard them say they would go to feed in Dothan. And Joseph hearkened to the voice of the angel of the Lord, and he went to his brethren in Dothan, and found them in Dothan feeding the flock. And Joseph advanced to his brethren, and before he had come nigh to them, they had resolved to slay him. And Simeon said to his brethren, Behold, the man of dreams is coming unto us this day, and now therefore come, let us kill him, and cast him in the wood of the pits that are in the wilderness. And when his father shall seek him from us, we will say, An evil beast has devoured him. And Reuben heard the words of his brethren concerning Joseph, and he said unto them, You should not do this thing, for how can we look up to our father Jacob? Cast him into this pit to die there, but stretch not forth a hand upon him to spill his blood. And Reuben said this in order to deliver him from their hand to bring him back to his father. When Joseph came to his brethren, he sat before them, and they rose upon him and seized him and smote him to the earth and stripped the coat of many colors which he had on. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and in the pit there was no water but serpents and scorpions. And Joseph was afraid of the serpents and scorpions that were in the pit. And Joseph cried out with a loud voice, and the Lord hid the serpents and scorpions in the sides of the pit, that no harm unto Joseph. And Joseph called out from the pit to his brethren and said unto them, What have I done unto you, and in what have I sinned? Why do you not fear the Lord concerning me? Am I not of your bones and flesh? And is not Jacob your father, my father? Why do you do this thing unto me this day? How will you be able to look up to our father Jacob? And he continued to cry out and called his brethren from the pit. And he said, O Judah, Simeon, and Levi, my brethren, lift up from the place of darkness in which you have placed me, and come this day to have compassion on me. You children of the Lord and sons of Jacob, my father, and if I have sinned unto you, are you not the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? If they saw an orphan, they had compassion over him, or one that was hungry, they gave him bread to eat. Or one that was thirsty, they gave him water to drink. Or one that was naked, they covered him with garments. And how then will you withhold your pity from your brother? For I am your flesh and bones. And if I have sinned unto you, surely you will do this on account of my father. And Joseph spoke these words from the pit, and his brethren could not listen to him, nor incline their ears to the words of Joseph. And Joseph was crying and weeping in the pit. And Joseph said, Oh, that my father knew this day the act which my brothers had done unto me, and the words which they have this day spoken unto me. And all his brethren heard his cries and weeping in the pit, and his brethren went and removed themselves from the pit so they might not hear the cries of Joseph and his weeping in the pit. And they went, sat on the opposite side, about the distance of a bow shot, and they sat there to eat bread. And whilst they were eating, they held a council together that what was to be done with him, whether to slay him or to bring him back to his father. They were holding the council when they lifted up their eyes and saw, and behold, there was a company of Ishmaelites coming at a distance by the road of Gilead, going down to Egypt. And Judah said unto them, What gain will it be to us if we slay our brother? Peradventure God will require him from us. This then is the counsel proposed concerning him, which he shall do unto him. Behold, this company of Ishmaelites going down to Egypt. Now therefore come, and let us dispose of him to them, and let not our hands be upon him. And they will lead him along with them, and he will be lost among the people of the land, and we will not put him to death with our own hands. And the proposal pleased his brethren, and they did according to the word of Judah. And whilst they were discoursing about this matter, and before the company of Ishmaelites had come up to them, seven training men of Midian passed by them. As they passed, they were thirsty, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the pit in which Joseph was immured, and they looked. And behold, every species of bird was upon him. And these Midianites ran to the pit to drink water, for they thought that it contained water. And on coming before the pit, they heard the voice of Joseph crying and weeping in the pit. They looked down into the pit, and they saw, and behold, there was a youth of comely appearance and well-favored. And they called unto him and said, Who art thou, and who brought thee hither? And he placed them in this pit in the wilderness. And they all assisted to raise up Joseph, and they drew him out and brought him up from the pit and took him, and went away on their journey and passed by his brethren. And they said unto them, Why do you do this, to take our servant from us and to go away? Surely you placed this youth in the pit because he rebelled against us, and you come and bring him up and lead him away. Now then, give us back our servant. The Midianites answered and said unto the sons of Joseph, is this your servant, or does this man attend you? Peradventure, you are all his servants. He must have been some special kind of kid. For he is more comely and well-favored than any of you. And why do you all speak falsely unto us? Now therefore, we will not listen to your words nor attend to you. For we found the youth in the pit in the wilderness, and we took him. He will therefore go on. And all the sons of Joseph approached them and rose up to them and said unto them, give us back our servant. And why will ye all die by the edge of the sword? And the Midianites cried out against them, and they drew their swords and approached to fight with the sons of Jacob. Behold, Simeon rose up with his seed against them and sprang upon the ground and drew his sword and approached the Midianites. And he gave a terrible shout before them, so that his shouting was heard at a distance, and the earth shook at Simeon's shouting. There's something about these 12 sons that when they would shout like that, it was like the earth trembled. It's really amazing, this part of the book. And the Midianites were terrified on account of Simeon and the noise of his shouting, and they fell upon their faces and were excessively alarmed. And Simeon said unto them, verily, I, Simeon, the son of Jacob, the Hebrew, who have only with my brother destroyed the city of Shechem, the cities of the Amorites, so shall God move moreover do unto me, that if all your brethren, the people of Midian, and also the kings of Canaan, were to come with you, they would not fight against me. Now therefore give us back the youth whom you have taken, lest I give your flesh to the birds of the skies and the beasts of the earth. And the Midianites were more afraid of Simeon, and they approached the sons of Jacob with terror and fright, and with the pathetic words, saying, surely you have said that the young man is your servant, and that he rebelled against you, and therefore you placed him in the pit. What then will you do with a servant who rebels against his master? And now therefore sell him unto us, and we will give you all that you require of him. And the Lord was pleased to do this in order that the sons of Jacob should not slay their brother. And the Midianites saw that Joseph was of a comely appearance and well-favored. They desired him in their hearts and were urgent to purchase him from his brethren. So this happens two or three times. They exchange hands with different people because God begins to avenge Joseph. Angels would show up and fight these people because of what they were doing to Joseph. What God was doing was by divine design. This wasn't just a mean thing his brothers did. God had a plan. I mean, I could read on and on. This is one of the most exciting non-canonized books that I've ever read. And it is mentioned in the Bible, the book of Jasher. I think it's in the book of Kings. So anyway, if you want to read further about that, you can. But I wanted you to see, this was God's plan for Joseph. You think, well, how could that be God's plan? It was so cruel. It was so mean. You could tell he was so afraid. He was afraid the serpents weren't going to get him. He was afraid the scorpions were going to get him. And it's a wonder that they did not rape him or make him a eunuch. God protected him because human trafficking, slave trafficking, has been around. In fact, there's more of it now today than there was then. And so to think, that's what happened to Daniel and his brethren. They were all eunuchs. Never could bear children. But Joseph escaped that. God put him in the hands of people that saw he was special, that had God's favor came on them. They didn't do things. They ended up putting him in places of authority. He'd always rise to the top wherever he went. God took care of Joseph even when all this was going on and the cruelty of his brothers. Cruelty of family, I'm telling you. Cruelty of family, I think, is worse than any of it. All right. 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave and to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. So he went right from there into Potiphar's house. Okay. All right, go to chapter 39. Get a drink here. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Remember that. The Lord is with you. The Lord's with you. Doesn't matter what you've been through, what you're going through, the Lord's with you. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. I know people look at us like, you're not like anybody ever been around. I remember the guy was doing our fountain back there. He said, who are you people? He said that. I kind of stood there like, I've never heard anybody talk like you talk. Thinking, well, you know, you want to follow someone that the Lord prospers, or you want to stick with the dead end garbage you've been sticking with your whole life and got nowhere. And Joseph found grace in his sight. He served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. That happens with Danny in his job. I mean, the sales just come in. He does no effort, just by the grace of God, and blesses the whole company. They may think, well, he just got some special selling skills. No, he doesn't. He has the grace of God on him to do what he's doing. And because he's there, it blesses the whole company. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a godly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now, this is another story in the book of Jasher. It goes into great detail. This told me he was not a eunuch. Well, he had children later. She dogged him day and night. It wasn't just some instance. It was day and night. And the book of Jasher says he was thrown in prison for 10 years, and they all knew he was innocent. But he didn't get out. Why? This was God's plan. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my servant wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I. He still kind of got that pride going on, don't he? Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, he needs that kind of character for the high position he's going to be in, but he's using it in a way that exalted himself. There's something greater here than me. I can see why his brothers hated him. It came to pass, as he spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left her his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when he saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, it's brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. See, he's been stripped of that pride now. Which that coat, I heard someone talk about that coat. that actually it was the colors on the stones on the priest ephod, which were the representative of the 12 tribes of Israel, which he was over. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. It came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. It came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, when she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Just like he was with Paul and Silas in the jail. Peter in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You know, we read these stories and we just kind of skim over them, but to think these were real people that really lived, that really went through hard years for what God had for them, the plan of God for them. They had to trust God. What else could he do? All right, verse 40, chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. The captain of the guard charged Moses with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, were bound in the prison. Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Hey, progress. He's saying now, well, I will do this for you. I will interpret the dream. No, he said, they belong to God. He's learning. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. You know how we just strive to get out of this, get out from under this. Oh, I want out of this. It's all I can do. I can't stand anymore. I got to get out. I got to have some relief. Oh, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. God's with you. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in a dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph had answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. It came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Why? At one time. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine, so Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the dream a second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good, and behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them in his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with thy servant, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and he told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. It came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt, for badness. And the lean and ill-favored kine did eat up the first 7 fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I woke, and I saw in a dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, full and good, and behold, 7 ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind spring up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears, and I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The 7 thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. There shall rise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. For that the dream was double unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, who take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that the food shall be for store unto the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. So you let your praise be from others, not of yourself. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I set thee over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a golden chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the 2nd chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. You know, when talking about when Simeon let out that yell, all the sons of Israel had that, and they slaughtered thousands and thousands and thousands, even all the giants. They let out that yell, and it's like heaven just opened, and supernatural stuff started to happen. Well, when he reveals himself to his brothers, they don't believe him. And so one of the brothers lets out that yell, and when he lets out that yell, Joseph lets out his yell, and the same thing happens. And that's how they identify he's their brother. I mean, supernatural stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really something. So, all right, Genesis 41:45. That's what I just read to you. Okay. All of the hardships were by divine design. It made him who he was supposed to be. The hardships and the good times. Okay. All right, Genesis 50. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will eventually requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. So we see here fulfilled the dream. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And there's another place where his father bows down to him. So the two dreams are fulfilled that God showed him. So, all right. It's my prayer today that any of these things that's happened to you throughout your life that always stand out to you, that the devil always brings up to you to hurt you or to harm you, to make you feel bad, to make you cry even. Make it a point that whoever that person might be, forgive them. Loose them. Say, Lord, this is in your plan. They help make me what I am today. The hardships I've gone through, it's been by divine design to build my character and to train me for the plan of God for my life. And in the days ahead, especially based on the words we've had this morning, the Lord will help you to see that clearly. And you can say what Joseph said and speak kindly to them. And actually look at them and not feel hatred or feel, you know, think ugly things. Okay. All right, one more scripture. Matthew 5. In fact, you can say, name them by name, thank you so much for what you did, because it's allowed God to work in my life. If his brothers hadn't done what they did, how would he have gotten to Egypt? 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun shine, rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. What does he do? He reigns on the just and the unjust. He died for their sin before they ever repented. For all of us. He covered over, not covered, but he took away our sin and gave us the path to righteousness, to be righteous. His righteousness. So that's the way we're to be. We're to be gracious, love our enemies, bless them, not hate them.